Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Still, yes, friends, we know that Easter, just like that season we just finished preceding Easter called Lent, Easter is 40 days of just pure joy that we get to know that Jesus is alive, and that makes a difference for your life. So yes, we will keep saying Alleluia, but how do we know that we can celebrate Easter for more than just 1 week? Well, funny you should ask, the Bible says so! In one of the books of the Bible called Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, where they wrote down all the things that Jesus did and what they did after Jesus was alive, it says this. I'm going to read this out loud so we know. In my first book, he's writing, the gospel writer. Same person wrote Acts as Luke, the gospel writer. I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, and we're going to celebrate that in a little bit. We call that the ascension of our Lord. Before Jesus ascended back into heaven, he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he has chosen. He presented them alive for 40 days, it says. He appeared to not only his disciples, but to many other people, showing that he did indeed beat death. Jesus walked this earth after Easter Sunday for 40 days. Scripture says so. So, what does that mean for us? Yes, we can still keep saying Alleluia. Yes, we can still keep remembering that Jesus makes now a difference over your whole life. But how? Well, today, there's a challenge. We call it the red letter challenge. I'm going to have to read these for you because they're a little bit small print. The red letter challenge is called the red letter challenge because if you look into a Bible, maybe some of the old school Bibles, maybe even if you look on a Bible app on your phone, the words of Jesus show up in blood red. You can't miss them. When you look into those gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those are the very words that Jesus actually spoke. Now, I don't know about you, but I think we should listen to Jesus. We should probably pay really close attention to those red letters, just as we pay attention to the rest of the Bible. So what is our red letter challenge today, 1 week removed after Easter Sunday? I want to read you these again today that we heard. In a locked room, Jesus appears. He says, "Peace be with you." That first greeting, it's not just a hello or how's it going, guys? It's, I want you to be and you are now whole. Shalom is the Hebrew word. Wholeness. He's saying, I got you. You're okay, guys. I am here. Peace is now for you. It's an important word because he says it more than once. And just as the Father sent him, I'm now sending you. We can't just sit back and sing praises. There's stuff going on that we all need each other. And Jesus continues to say, now receive the Holy Spirit. He's going to be in working through you, even in spite of you. And guess what? If you forgive the sins of other people, they are now forgiven because you say so in Christ. If you say somebody is not forgiven, that is withheld as well. Pretty powerful. We call this the office of the keys that, yes, God gives pastors and the church itself the authority to forgive you. We just saw that this morning. But you know what? Thomas wasn't there that first Easter morning. He was somewhere, probably afraid. So he comes back, Jesus comes back to Thomas, and he proves it, that it's real. Easter is real. Even to doubting, we call him Thomas. Skeptical Thomas, we'll call him. He says, peace be with you again, a third time. He wants us to feel whole, just as he has made us. Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. See where those Roman spears and Roman nails went. This is real, Thomas. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas, He gets it. But that disciple, Jesus also said, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." My friends, that means you. I would hope Jesus would appear in the flesh today. He will at the altar, but blessed are all of you because we have received this word from Scripture in faith. We don't need to be a doubting Thomas because his promises are real today. So I want to share with you some things to help us out. Yes, we call it the red letter challenge. And if you take home a Bible, this is a Megan and I's home Bible. This is a gift from our wedding day. Our first anniversary is coming up soon, May 16th. This is a gift from my mom and dad to love one another. And yes, believe it or not, in these Bibles, in this Bible, full of red letters. And I challenge you to take a Bible at home and to find those red letters for you. So welcome to the Red Letter Challenge. To see and hear and inwardly digest what Jesus, our resurrected Lord, has to say for our life now. The challenge is extended. Who's excited? I sure am. In a little bit, I think you will be too. These next 40 days, as Scripture commands us to celebrate, 40 days of Easter, have an opportunity for you now to have an impact on your life. A lot of us, we can go through our life being churched and religious people, but it might take a moment that we finally let it reach our heart, that we really, really fall down and worship, just like Thomas, and say, "My Lord and my God." But it's hard, right? There's a reason why we are talking about this today. Faith is hard. Being a Christian is hard. We have lots of opportunities to grow in our faith and stretch us out even beyond our comfort zones. We don't want to do it. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever had really good intentions on something, to do something, but you totally messed up? Some of the married folk out there, I guess you're probably saying that. Really good intentions, but you missed the point. Well, I brought up weddings because that happened to me. I was working so hard trying to make the perfect wedding slideshow of pictures, like timing it with music and all that stuff. I was the night before the wedding up way too late, and guess what? Overslept a little too long, and it cut into the decorating time. The good intentions were there, but I messed up. Maybe you have a story of yourself of good intentions. Well, we had the right intentions in faith, and we still do as believers, but there are times where we completely miss opportunities. Every day is an opportunity as a believer. So, let's talk about those five principles. I want to share with you a story about this man. I'm going to leave his picture up there for a moment, but let's go back. Take a good look. We're going to find out why this reaction. As a follower of Jesus, I don't want to settle, and I don't want you to settle. You know what I'm talking about. I think that too often our walk with God is something that we settle for, but we do just enough. Well, as Christians, we are notorious for missing some of the things that God has placed right in front of us, just like Thomas. If we read the Bible, the Israelites in the Old Testament missed the message of looking for a Messiah. They grumbled and complained. Peter, in the New Testament, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, he denied Jesus at least 3 times. A lot of us spend much time in God's presence. We come to church, and sometimes we miss out on what his purposes really are. And I believe that extends to the whole Christian world, not just us today. Many times us as Easter people, as believers in Jesus, we have good intentions, but miss to go the next mark. Now, a few years ago, this was really a point made. A book came out called Unchristian. A few years ago, these authors spent years polling young unchurched Americans to find out what they thought about church and what they thought about Christians. Millions of young people they discovered said that they saw Jesus' followers as judgmental. They were anti-homosexual. They were too political. They were old-fashioned. They're just out of touch with reality. Sometimes insensitive and flat-out boring. Maybe somebody in your life, in your family or friends, have said something like that about church, believers, pastors, church things. And looking at your faces, your immediate reaction, like mine, is that this characterization is pretty unfair. Like, we don't want to be told those things. That's not nice. Why do these folks recognize all the good things that we do? We help prisoners. We help people the less fortunate in third world countries. We give to people that we don't even know in Ukraine. Take a look in those blue envelopes in our church. Every month we celebrate a local mission. The church does fantastic stuff that the world sometimes doesn't get to see. Why don't people recognize and notice the church and what Jesus is doing through us? The answer, partially, fairly or not, are those hostile press characterizations that sometimes we as church people give. A shocking 50% of people respond that they say that they're based their negative views on God and the church because of other Christians. So we just celebrated Easter. How we celebrate will shape how the people that aren't in church today view Jesus through us. And I don't know about you, that seems pretty important. So, I want to share with you a story. When we somehow don't have a measuring up of our good intentions, right? As Christians, we have good intentions. We want to be loving. We want to be kind. We want to do the right thing, but sometimes we hurt people without even knowing it. We give a wrong impression, maybe when we're just being our normal selves. So somehow, even in our good intentions, we can miss the mark a little bit. Sometimes we miss the mark entirely. Take, for example, in the 2004 Athens Olympics. We just celebrated a few Olympics. Back in Athens, Greece, there was a shooter named Matthew Emmons, and he was an Olympic athlete in shooting rifle targets. Far and away, the best shooter in the world. Accurate, as no one ever could be. Some said he was the best shooter that's ever lived. That year, 2004, the question was not who was going to win the gold, but who would take silver and bronze. Everybody knew that Matt Emmons was going to take home the gold. You see, rifle shooters, I'm one of them, not an Olympic athlete by any means, but they're trained to fire in between heartbeats so that you get even more accurate. We try to slow down our heartbeat as much as possible. And then fire in between those beats. And medals, Olympic medals are literally won by millimeters. And so going into his final shot, this Olympic shooter, Emmons, was in first place by a mile. And all he needed to do to win gold was to simply hit the target. Which for many of us, in this room, probably wouldn't even be a problem. For the greatest shooter in the world, piece of cake. It's a sport where top competitors are expected to be so accurate that we have a hard time believing they could even miss. And with one bullet left to shoot, he needed a score of 7 to win his second gold medal. And all of his first shots, his lowest score was 9. He was just blowing away the competition. He took on his last shot, a careful aim, and this last shot, all he needed to do is hit. He aimed, fired, and sure enough, bullseye for the American. He did it. Except for one small fact. He shot at the wrong target, right there to the right. One lane over, he went to adjust his scope on his rifle, trying to focus on himself, and he shot at the wrong target and got a score of 0, and this was his reaction. After the press conference, he said he was feeling great into this last shot. He said he was more concerned with calming himself down rather than doing his job. The last time he even did something like that, he was 6 or 7 years old, crossfired. He went from first in the world to 8th and didn't even get a medal. Now, why do I bring this up? Well, because Matthew Emmons was literally the greatest shooter in the world, but if you don't know what you're shooting for, it doesn't matter. If you shoot at or focus on the wrong thing, you'll never hit what you need to hit. As Christians, friends, we can have the best intentions in the world. We can be Olympic athlete Christians, but if we're succeeding at things that don't matter to our faith, we can do more harm to other people than good. If the targets we're hitting are judgmental, divisive, hypocrisy, bigotry, racism, being out of touch, being old-fashioned, and being boring, then clearly we're not aiming at the right targets in our world that Jesus has set. We've been shooting at the wrong targets as Easter people this whole time. And so, what Jesus asks of us, his followers, how we can be more like him, goes back to 5 principles. And if we took all those red letters of Jesus' words in the Bible and we put them all together, I firmly believe that you can summarize into 5 topics. What does it look like to be a disciple? What does it look like to be an Easter Christian? And these are going to be your challenges the next few weeks to look at these 5 principles. Number 1, to be, right? Before I became a pastor, I spent a year as a vicar, an understudy, basically an associate pastor down in a church in Warrensburg, Missouri. And the first day, hyper pastor Aaron, vicar to be, like we all know and love, I wanted to do, go, 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 learn it all. My supervisor said, slow down. We are human beings first, not human doings. I'm still trying to learn that. So I'm going to challenge myself along with you. But being is something important that Jesus calls us to be. So many times Jesus talks in the Bible about the importance of spending time in prayer and being in his presence. And before God invites us to do anything for him, to do anything through him, in his name, he invites us into a faithful relationship. And that relationship with him will determine how effective we are at hitting those marks. Like number 2, being forgiving. Pretty important stuff. Jesus talks about it a lot. Jesus is all about that grace. So many of us struggle with receiving God's forgiveness. We struggle with forgiving ourselves. We struggle with forgiving others. And to truly represent Jesus in our world, we have to greatly understand God's grace is for you today and every day. We can't miss it. And he invites us to extend that grace, forgiveness, undeserved love to everybody. Pretty important. We're going to talk about that second challenge. But number 3 of our 5 principles we're going to look at is serving. As part of our mission here at Bethlehem, to be a Christian means that we serve and therefore shine the light of Christ. And after spending time with Jesus, hearing his words in Scripture, receiving his forgiveness, now we can be motivated. After all that he's done for you, think about Easter, think about Good Friday. After everything Jesus has done for you, why shouldn't we want to serve him in any way possible? I want to get out in the community, help people in need, love our neighbors, love people that people don't even love, and to give. To be a Christian, as Jesus tells us in his red letters of Holy Scripture, is to give. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God more than anything, and A close second was money. We hate talking about that, but it's more than that. I found in the words of Scripture, the words of Jesus, that it's impossible to be stingy with anything. Our time, talents, treasures, anything. To give of ourselves, our time, our personalities. Jesus' followers are by nature generous people. I challenge us to be the same. And number five, we are going people. We're going places. And a little bit later, we're going to talk about the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. Guess what? In the Greek language where that New Testament is written, it's all one word. It means while you are going, while you are at work, while you are at school, while you are playing baseball, football, basketball, while you are sitting in church, while you are shopping at a grocery store, make disciples. It's all one action. And Jesus says, and it's no coincidence that all Jesus' words in the Gospels and in his last command focus on going into our world to be his mouthpiece, to share this good news that why we come to church on Sundays. So, as we think about these five principles of being a Christian, whatever you do, whatever we do together today, let's not fall into the trap of doing the words, doing this challenge without first having Jesus. Jesus is the point of everything here. Everything in our life together at Bethlehem, everything as Christians. The first step we do in our life is, before even entering into this red letter challenge that I hope all of you can do, there are still a couple books to have today, devotional books that we're going to walk with. We can get them online. Before we do anything, we trust in Jesus because that's the target we always aim for. Because Jesus is here for you. He is there in your life every single time you ask. In those dark, lonely moments, Jesus has already been there and he's going to walk you through it and he's going to walk you through these challenges as well. So we're going to speak much more on these topics next week. That's our first reminder. Don't forget about Jesus. Our second reminder is don't forget about other people. Invite somebody in your life today to walk along with you how to be an Easter Christian. Invite Jesus, invite others, and we will represent the real Jesus, our risen Savior. And we will go with good intentions and hit every mark for him.